Now, the title of my message is Repent and Believe the Gospel. Repent and Believe the Gospel. This is a study of the subject of repentance and faith. And I'm reading from the 20th chapter of Acts. I'll begin the reading with verse 17. Now, Paul, the apostle, is bidding farewell to all of the elders of Ephesus, dear friends of his, men with whom he had ministered the gospel and to whom he had ministered the gospel. And what makes this message so significant is this is the last time he ever preached to this group of people. The last time he ever preached to them, and the last time most of them ever saw his face on this earth. And he sort of sums up his ministry in these opening three statements. I looked at it again this afternoon, and I believe Paul sort of sums up his ministry in three statements here, beginning with verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said to them, "You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons. You know what my ministry has been like. You know what I've conducted myself among you and how I've preached and taught." And here's the summary, three statements. "I have served the Lord with all humility of mind." Humility of mind, and with many tears and many temptations of trials, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. I have served among you. I've served the Lord. I've not served myself. He said, "I haven't coveted any man's silver or gold. I have served the Lord. And I've done it with a humility of mind. I know," Paul says, "I am nothing." He said, "Who is Paul?" The people had had a division down there at Corinth. And some said, "I like Paul." Some said, "I like Cephas." Some said, "I like Apollos." He said, "Who is Paul? Who is Cephas? Who is Apollos? We're just messengers, ministers, by whom you heard the gospel. We're nothing. In ourselves, we're nothing." He said on one occasion, "Though I be nothing," he said, "one plows and one sows and one cultivates, but God gives the increase. So I've served with humility of mind and with many tears and many trials." And then the second statement he makes is this, "And I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, neither I haven't shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I've kept back nothing profitable. I haven't kept back that which is profitable to you, seeking applause or approval or gain or any of these things. I've declared unto you the gospel of the grace of God. I've preached as much as I know it all the counsel of God." He didn't say, "I preached the whole counsel of God." He said, "I hadn't shunned to." That's a whole lot different statement. So I said, "Well, I preached the whole counsel." He doesn't know the whole counsel. Who's been his counselor? Who knows? Paul said, "I haven't shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I haven't kept back anything because it would be offensive or because it would be to my gain. I just, what God taught me, I told you. What God's revealed to me, I've told you." And that's all a man can do. That's all any of you or I can do is preach what we know. We can't preach what we don't know. We can't speculate. We just preach what we know. And he said, "I hadn't shunned to preach all that God's shown me." And then the third statement, here's where I want to get to this evening. And I guess you've heard messages on repentance and messages on faith, but I've got a little different a different approach this evening. It's very important. In verse 21, he said, I testified. Testifies to witness. It's to preach. I testified both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, Jews and Gentiles, both to the religious and to the unbelievers. I preached to every man who's heard me. Two things. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I preached those two things. Paul seems to say this is the keynote of my ministry. This is a summary of my ministry. That is repentance toward God. Whatever repentance is toward God. And faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, turn to Mark chapter 1 just a moment. Hold that text. Turn to Mark chapter 1. Our Lord Jesus Christ began His ministry. It says here in Mark chapter 1 and verse 14, after John was put in prison, Mark 1:14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus, our Lord, came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Our Lord was a preacher. And saying, this was His message, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's what He preached. Paul said, I've served the Lord among you with humility. I haven't shunned to declare unto you everything God's revealed in me. And this is the keynote of my ministry, repentance toward God and faith in Christ Jesus. And that's what our Lord Jesus Christ preached. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, I want to show you tonight seven things about repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. Now, here are seven things. If you want to take notes, I'll give them to you clearly. I'll define them. These seven facts about repentance and faith. Now, first of all, here's the first thing. Where there's one, there's the other. It is absolutely impossible for a person to believe on Christ who doesn't repent. I've had people say, well, you believe repentance is for this day? Is faith for this day? You can't have repentance without faith. You can't have faith without repentance. Repentance and faith are like a piece of paper. You've got to have two sides. If you got this side, you got to have that side. If you have true faith, you've got to have repentance. Repentance cannot be properly considered. It cannot be properly preached apart from faith. And faith cannot be properly understood or considered apart from repentance. You see, repentance and faith are not mere words that we're defining. If you go write a dictionary and define words, yes, you can consider repentance. What is repentance? It's a change. It's a turning. It's a change of mind. It's a change of manners. It's a change of masters. Repentance is a turning. Is a conversion. If you want to write a dictionary, you can consider the word repentance apart from faith alone and define it. Or you can consider faith and define it. Faith is to believe. Faith is to trust. Faith is to rest. Faith is to submit. Faith is to receive. Faith is all these things. But when you're considering a saving relationship with God, repentance and faith cannot be considered separately. They're one and the same. You have one, you have the other. That's what the Scripture says. Listen to the Word of God. I won't have you turn to all these, but listen to 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, that's faith, isn't it? He's a new creature. That's repentance. If he's in Christ, he's a new creature. If he's a new creature, he's in Christ because Christ made him a new creature. But listen to this one. He that is of God, that's faith. heareth God's word. That's repentance. Listen to this. Christ said, if you love me, that's faith. You'll keep my commandments. That's repentance. Listen to this. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If he has the Spirit of Christ, he belongs to Christ. And the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of repentance and the Spirit of faith. Listen to 1 Corinthians 1:30. Of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. If a man has redemption, he has sanctification. If a man has righteousness, he has redemption. You can't separate them. It's impossible. And my friends, we believe grace, all of grace, salvation by grace. It's the gospel of God's grace. And yet we carry about with us all the time, along with that faith, a genuine sorrow for our sins. We carry about with us, along with that faith, a great desire to be more like our Lord. What did Paul say? Or did David say? I'll be satisfied when I wait with his likeness. I'll never be satisfied till I wait with his likeness. We want to be like our Lord in conduct, in conversation, and in spirit. If Christ is a man's Savior by faith, Christ is that man's Lord. Somebody wrote a poem about that one time. It said, now listen carefully, this was Joseph Hart. Repentance is a gift bestowed to save my soul from death. And true repentance toward our God is always joined to faith. Not for an hour or a day or a week do saints presumption own. For all the time the Lord they seek, their sins they grieve and own. See, when they're seeking God, they grieve it over their sins. That's what Paul said. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now listen to this verse. Nor is it such an unknown thing, as 'tis by some men named, a sinner may repent and sing. He may rejoice and be ashamed. At the same time. 'Tis not the fear of hell alone, for that may prove extreme. Repenting saints the Savior own, and they grieve for grieving Him. Dear Lord, we fall before Thy face, and our guilt and our folly own. We pray Thee for Thy mercy's sake. Make Thy goodness known. The verse of Scripture over in the book of Hebrews says, we have ceased from our labors and entered into His rest. In order to enter into His rest, you've got to cease from your labor. And then, over in Thessalonians, Paul said this, we turn from our idols to serve the living God. And if you serve the living God, you've got to turn from your idols. And if you do turn from your idols, to whom do you turn? The living God. So that first thing, repentance and faith are inseparable. Where there's true faith in Christ, there's true repentance. And where there's true repentance, there's faith in Christ. All right, here's the second thing. I acknowledge there is a false faith and there is a false repentance. It can be, for a time, feigned. And it has been through the Word. This false faith and false repentance is produced by various conditions. I want to show you a few. Turn with me to the book of John. In other words, it's possible for a person to show a great deal of interest in the supernatural outwardly and not be inwardly interested at all. In John chapter 2, here's an example of that in John chapter 2, verse 23. Now when he, that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name. They professed to believe. They claimed to believe. They followed him when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. And he needed not that any should testify of man. He knew what was in man. Here's some folks that are following him and claiming to believe on him. And he ignored them. They were interested. They were attracted to the supernatural. They were attracted to the miracles. They were attracted to all that was going on here in the name of God. And they followed him, but he didn't reveal himself to them. Turn to John 6. Here's another group. John chapter 6, verse 26. And he refers to John 6:25. He refers to that group that followed him in John 2 we just read about. In John 6, verse 25. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, this is when our Lord had walked on the water and walked across the sea to the other side. And these people took boats and followed him. They went to great length to follow him. And they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? How did you get here is what they were asking. And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me. Not because you saw the miracles like that other crowd, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. These people over here in John 2 and John 6 were attracted to the supernatural. They were attracted to the blessings and to the benefits and to those things of Christ's ministry. But he didn't reveal himself to them. It wasn't genuine. And here's something else that will produce a temporary repentance and faith, and that is fear of punishment. You remember when the Lord told Cain that he'd be a vagabond, he'd be a wanderer because he killed his brother? And what was his immediate response? My punishment is greater than I can bear. I don't want this to take place. What about Simon Magus when Peter told him, said, your heart's not right with God. And he said, pray for me. Pray for me that none of these things come upon me. What about Judas? When he came back, he sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, and he took his money, and he went his way, and then he came back with it and threw it on the floor, and he said, I've betrayed innocent blood. He knew the consequences. Went out and hanged himself. Fear of punishment. Tell you something else. Turn to Exodus 12. I want you to look at this one. Trials and sorrow and sickness and death. Exodus 12. Great, great sorrow and trials and sickness. These things produce temporary repentance and temporary faith. Oh, how many times you can imagine in all the years that I've been preaching, 42, going on 43 years now, I learned the gospel of God's grace in April of 1950, so soon be 43 years. How many funerals I've preached, how many deathbeds I've visited, how many families I've talked to who've lost loved ones, how many hospital beds I've stood beside, how many people in trouble, how many broken hearts, how many. And I've watched people for a while get interested in, they just look at you, come on, give me something. Give me something. Give me something to hold to. Give me something to believe in. Give me some help here. I'm sick. I'm dying. My son died. My mother's died. My brother's died. My wife's died. My husband died. I need some help. And they get so, and you think, boy, they're interested. 2 weeks later, 6 months later, time has healed the wound. It's over. The storm's passed. You know, the other day that blizzard came and Doris and I went to the store that Friday night. They've got everything. I mean, I was looking for a loaf of bread and some milk. You know, people just, converged on the store, you know, getting ready for the blizzard. Anybody down there buying bread tonight? No, the blizzard's over. I ain't got anything to worry about. Storm's over. They're already dead and buried, and I'm interested in somebody else now. And old Pharaoh, he just lost his boy. God sent that plague through Egypt, midnight. No blood on the door, and his boy died. Now this guy's mean. This guy's rough. This is Pharaoh. This is the king of Egypt. And he's got a broken heart now. Listen to him in Exodus 12. Verse 30. Exodus 12:30. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt. There wasn't a house where there wasn't one dead. And he called for Moses. That's when people call for the preacher. Send for the preacher. Go into the doctor, says you got heart trouble, you may not last 6 months. Send for the preacher. Two popular people when we're in trouble, the soldier and the preacher. Let the country go to war, and everybody's proud of the soldiers. Marching off to war, you know. We support our troops. Yeah, as long as there's bloodshed, we do. But when it's all quiet on the Western Front, we don't support the troops. Send for the preacher. So he sent for Moses. He called for Moses. And Aaron, by night, he said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people. You and the children of Israel, go serve the Lord as you say. And take your flocks and your herds and as you have said, and be gone before you leave." Bless me. I'm in trouble. I need a blessing. That's about the only time most folks need a blessing when in trouble. You know the man I want to talk to? There's a fella that's grieving over his sins when everything's going his way. I believe he might be interested. When everything's all right, when everything's on the track, nothing's derailed, it's going down the line, and he comes and says, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I need mercy, I need help, would you point me to God? Oh, I got me a repentant sinner on my hands. That's right. That's right. I tell you another thing that Esau, when he woke up and realized what he had done, he sought repentance with tears. I'll tell you another thing that produces a false repentance and a false faith is emotional response to preachers. I turn to Mark 6 a minute. Look at this. Mark chapter 6. Old Herod. Now that's another fellow that would have been a feather in somebody's cap. If he'd have talked him into a profession. Old Herod. It says here in Mark 6, verse 20, listen. Herod feared John, knowing he was a just man and a holy man, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Herod, John impressed him. He impressed him. He did many things. But he wound up killing him. What about Agrippa, when Paul preached to him? Agrippa said, I'm almost persuaded to be a Christian. What about Felix? He trembled. And he said, you go your way, but I'll send for you when I've got a convenient season. 2 years passed and he never did. So if it's genuine faith and genuine repentance, they're always together. They're always together. But there is a phony repentance and faith brought on by many of these unusual things. All right, here's the third thing. But true repentance and true faith is not an outward show and an outward demonstration. It is an inward heart work. True repentance is a heart work. True repentance and faith is a heart work. I didn't say are a heart work. I said is, because they're one and the same. True repentance and faith is a heart work. Now, this is the critical point. Listen to this very carefully. Take any number of people in Ashland, Kentucky, Ironton, Ohio, Grayson, wherever. Any number of people. And somebody asked me up in Findlay, Ohio this week, how do you describe Ashland, Kentucky? And I was eating dinner in some people's homes. What about that? I said, we got a finest place to live. I said, nice people, conservative, middle of the road, ordinary folks. They're honest. We have a good school system. We have nice kids. It's just a good, it's low crime rate. I said, this is a nice place to live. They're church-going people. Isn't that right? I like this town. I like this whole area. It's a good place to raise your children. And you take all the people around here, any number of people, they attend church. Most of them read the Bible. Most of them believe in Jesus. That's right, some Jesus. Most of them give alms. In other words, help poor people. Most of them live morally. I just bet you, if you were a paper boy and sold papers, you could put a stack of papers down by the bank or the post office and put a cigar box there, and most people would pay for the paper. They'd take it and leave their quarter. You know, they really would, or in this area. There are people who are largely honest. They pay their way, they work, they produce, they care for their family, they believe in God. This whole area. What determines? How can you tell? How can you know? Which one really repents toward God and believes on Christ? How can you tell? How can you tell what's genuine and what's hypocritical? How can you tell what is of God, accepted of God, in favor with God, and what's hypocritical? How can you tell what is genuine and will last and what will fold up? Here's the key. Matthew 25. Here's the key. It's where the work is done. It's the source of the church attendance. It's the source of the Bible interest. It's the source of the giving of alms. It's the source. It's the heart. That's where it is. Now listen to our Lord in Matthew 23, verse 25. Now here our Lord was speaking to the religious people of that day, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the folks who were in the synagogue. The man who said, I fast, I tithe, I give alms to the poor, I attend the synagogue, I'm not of this, extortioner, adulterer, unjust. This is the man he's talking to. He says in verse 25, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Now this is not three classes of people, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. This is scribes and Pharisees who are all hypocrites. You see, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites. Listen. For you make clean the outside of the cup. There's where this false repentance and false faith, that's where it is. It's outside. And the platter. And within, full of extortion and excess. Your disease is within. Your outside is beautiful and fair. You've got these good works, but within you're full of greed and covetousness and envy and jealousy. Well, walk through the cemetery. There are a lot of them, pretty, slick, shiny tombstones and beautiful mown grass and flowers. It just appears beautiful on the outside, but within, what's underneath? Dead men's bones. Uncleanness. Keep thy heart, out of it are the issues of life. Out of the heart the mouth speaketh. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's where repentance and faith take place. Turn to Ezekiel 36. Listen to this. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. Here's what takes place when God gives repentance and faith. Ezekiel 36, 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And a new heart also I'll give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I'll take away the stony heart and give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you. You see, heart is more important than hand. Because when heart's right, hand will follow. And attitude is more important than action. That's right. Because if attitude's right, eventually action will be right. That's right. We may flare up here, but when the thing is over, the action will be determined by the attitude. The spirit, when the spirit and motive is right, the manners will be right. That's exactly it. Our Lord said that to His disciples when they asked Him about that. The Pharisees got mad at His disciples because they ate with unwashed hands. He said, it's not what a man puts in his mouth that defiles him. It's what comes out of his heart. So repentance and faith is a heart work. If it's genuine, if it's real, if it's of God, it's a heart work. And God looks on the heart anyway. It's not how much we do, it's why we do it. Because, you know, when our Lord and His disciples were watching the treasury, a man came by, some people came by and gave large gifts for whatever reason. And then the widow came by and dropped in 2 pence. And our Lord turned to the disciples and said, she gave more than all of them. She gave more than all of them. Not when the guys count the money, she didn't get more than all of them. But the attitude and spirit behind it was so right in God's eyes that she did give more than them because they didn't get anything. They didn't get anything. You see what he's saying? She gave more than all of them. More in his eyes. All right, here's the fourth thing, quickly. See if I can move along. True repentance and faith is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. Don't we repent? We do. But God enables us to repent. Don't we actually believe with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation? Yes, sir, we believe and we repent and we seek the Lord and we confess the Lord and we receive the Lord and we walk in His Word, we do, but He makes us willing. He makes us willing. Thy people are willing, but He made us willing. We do choose God because He chose us. We do seek God because He seeks us. We do call on Christ, but He called on us. He enabled us. Let me show you that in the Scripture. Turn to Acts 11. Acts chapter 11. I got a letter this past week. Marty may remember this letter. She wrote and gave it to me and wrote attention HTM on. I imagine she meant for me to read it. In big letters, I think. This fellow wrote, he was dressing me down that I didn't preach works. He said, all you preach is faith. You remember that letter? You don't preach works. You don't. I wanted to write it. I resist this urge to just, it's white people say, if you wanted to, stupid. You'd hear what I'm saying, you know, but I just kind of feel like I ought not to do that. But works. This church is the workingest church in town. This is the givingest church, the caringest people, the lovingest people, the gracious people. These folks, my soul, we have more missionaries on the field and more money going to missions and helping poor people around here and buying groceries and I guess many churches combined. We're working. But not to be saved. But because we are saved. We're working not to gain God's love, but because He loves us. We love Him because He loved us. But it's just, it's like talking to a brick wall. God's people work. They grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. They have works of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. And you know the reason they don't brag about it? Is because it's all the gift of God. Even when you give, you say, "Preacher, I haven't given anything." I know it. You don't feel like you have. And compared to what He gave to us, we haven't given anything. We haven't done anything. But listen to Acts 11, verse 15. Listen to this. Peter's talking about his, when he preached to the Gentiles. He went over and preached to the Gentiles. He's explaining to these Jews about preaching to the Gentiles. And he said to them in Acts 11, 15, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on these Gentiles, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that He said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost.' For as much then as God gave them," the Gentiles, "the like gift as He did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus, what was I that I could withstand God?" Peter said, "I preached to these Gentiles, and God saved them too. The Holy Spirit fell on them too, just like us Jews." So when they heard these things, when the Jews, when the apostles now heard these things, they held their peace, and they glorified God, saying, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance and the life." Who did, John? God did. God granted them repentance. Let me tell you something. You're sitting here tonight, and you have a heart that's broken over sin. God broke it. If you have a heart that loves Christ and believes on Him, you know, just that much faith, but that's all you need if it's in Him. You believe in Him. God gave you that faith. If you're here tonight and you understand this gospel and you love it, God enabled you to understand it and love it. You're not smarter than anybody else. You're not better than anybody else. You're not wiser than anybody else. You're not holier than anybody else. You're just favored above everybody else. God favored you. "Who am I," David said, "that I should have such mercy? Who are my people?" Oh, I tell you, God gave. Look at Romans 2, verse 4. Romans 2, verse 4. It's the gift of God. Whatever I have, the gift of God. Paul said, "I labored more abundantly than any of you, but not me, is the grace of God in me." In Romans 2, 4, "Do you despise the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" What did? Goodness of God. Tom, I connected something this afternoon I've never connected with this person. The goodness of God led you to repentance. Moses says, "Lord, show me Your glory." He said, "I'll make my goodness pass before you, and I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful." It was His goodness that brought me mercifully and graciously into Christ. It was His goodness. Not my goodness. His goodness. Let me show you one more. Ephesians 2 on this particular point. You know, we preachers have a bad habit of saying just one more verse. We mean one more dozen verses, but I want you, this is a good study, and this is Ephesians 2, verse 8. "Listen, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God." What is faith? It's the gift of God. "It's not of works, lest any man should boast, for we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them." We are His workmanship. Is anything in us good or commendable or worthy of commendation? He did it. He did it. And let Him have the praise. You know, Philippians 1:29 says, "It's given unto you not only to suffer for Him, but to believe on Him." You know what our Lord, what Abraham said to the rich man in hell, he said, rich man in hell said, Father Abraham said, send Lazarus back and let him talk to my brothers. Would you do that? I got five brothers. I don't want them to come to this awful place. Send him back, let him talk to my brothers. Abraham said, they have the word of God. They have Moses and the prophets. That's the word of God. Oh, no, he said. If one rose from the dead, they'd believe. And Abraham said, no. They will not be persuaded though one rose from the dead if they don't hear God's word. You know what he said? If they don't hear God's word, if they won't hear what God says, they won't hear some man who rose from the dead. But one did rise from the dead and said these things. All right, here's the fifth thing. True repentance and faith. And you notice, true repentance and faith, this has to do with great things. Great things. True repentance and faith will acknowledge God's right to do with His own what He will. That's when, I tell you, it's when trials come. It's when trials come that you find out if faith and repentance are real. I'll give you some examples. You remember Samuel told Eli, God has judged your house. That's what Samuel told Eli. He said, God has judged your house. And God's going to deal with your house in judgment. Your sons are going to die. And what did Eli say? Well, he said, it's the Lord. Let him do what he will. Now, that's repentance. That's repentance. That's submission. That's unconditional surrender. That's when you put up your shotgun. You're not, you know, somebody says, well, I don't think it's fair for God to elect the people. That's not repentance. That's not repentance. Rebellion is not repentance. You know, what did Job say when God dealt with his situation? He said, well, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody says, well, there's a covenant of grace. I think every man deserves a chance. Well, whether they do or they don't, that's not repentance. You know, that's not, in other words, it's not my issue to settle. That's God's issue. That's His business. That's not my business. This is what Eli said. It's the Lord. Let Him do what He will. Now, that's repentance. Isn't that repentance? That's when you come, that's when you say, I've truly repented. And it has a whole lot more than just dieting or doing without something or keeping Lent. It has to do with an attitude towards God. If God, let Him do what He will. Job said the Lord gave, the Lord pleased to take it away. Praise the Lord. Paul said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be what? Content. Christ died for His sheep. Well, I don't believe that. I believe He died for everybody. That's not repentance. That's just not repentance. That kind of attitude is not repentance. It's, what did the leper say when he came to Christ in Matthew 8? He says, Lord, if You will, You can make me whole. And I am resting on Your will. Totally. The thief on the cross, I'm getting what I deserve. Remember me when You come in your kingdom. That's repentance. All right, number six. True repentance and faith looks only to Christ for everything. True repentance and faith looks only to Christ. Ronnie quoted this in his text. Started out, Father, in My hands, no price. In that, no price. I mean nothing. Not my profession. Not my raised in a Christian home. Not my work, not my giving, not my preaching. No price I pay. I see repentance. I see repentance in attitude around here. I see grace and love, submission, surrender to God's word. I see it. I see it. It comes out, you know, it comes out in the church, in the home, It comes out wife and husband, the children, true repentance. It's a submission. School, students. Repentance and submission and a broken will and a broken heart is revealed in just all walks of life. And we're not, please, not, we're not without transgression. We're not without trespassing. We walk in the light, but that doesn't mean we don't step in dark. We don't step in darkness once in a while. You understand what I mean? But it's a general trend. It's the bend of the will I'm talking about. The old Mississippi River flows which direction? South. All the time? Not all the time. It flows west and east and north and east. But the general direction of that river is south. And I'm saying the general direction of this believer and all you believers here is holiness unto the Lord. That's the general direction. Now, you meet me at a bad time. This afternoon, I got upset. I told Martin and Ron, I got to go home and repent so I can come preach on it. You did too, didn't you? And Cecil's worse than any of them. They got the wrong carpet out here. We've been waiting on it for a long time, and it all came the wrong color. Makes you so mad. Now we got to leave our auditorium like that for about 2 weeks. But that's what I'm saying. I'm over it now. Are you over it? But this is a good illustration. We're headed south. And you might catch me cold and going west sometime. You probably be with me, and east and north, but I'm headed south. I want His will to be done. And this is all for His glory. I don't care what happens, it's for His glory. And don't get all down on yourself. You say, I'm not saved today. Well, you will be tomorrow. You know, it'll be all right tomorrow. You know, but here's the thing, repentance and faith look to Christ. And when you look to Christ alone, what you do has no bearing on your acceptance with God. Is that's correct, isn't it? That is correct. No, no matter what folks say, it's still correct. What I do has no bearing on my relationship with God in Christ Jesus. It does not. Because I find all I need in Him. All right, here's the seventh thing. Turn to Hebrews 3. And this true repentance is going to continue. You see, old Barnard said this a long time ago. First time I ever heard it, when he said it back in 1950. He said, while you turn to Hebrews 3, he said, we Baptists, fundamentalists, need to realize that repentance and faith is not an isolated experience. That is, I repented. No. I repented. I am repenting. And by God's grace, I will repent. And if I don't repent and will repent, I never repented. And don't go back to a place in time and say, that's when I saved. If you're saved, you're being saved. And if you're being saved, your salvation is nearer than when you believe. God's not through with you by any means. And I don't like the term, I got saved. I don't like that term. I didn't got saved. God is saving me. God is conforming us to the image of Christ. We have been saved. We're being saved. We will be saved. And it says in Hebrews 3:6, listen, Christ, as a son over His own house, whose house are we, what? If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firmly within us. Well, brother man, won't all sheep hold fast? Yep. And He'll hold them. He'll hold them, and they'll hold Him. He won't forsake them, and they won't forsake Him. Well, what if one quit? Well, then he wasn't a sheep. That's what John said. John said they went out from us. They weren't of us. If they'd been of us, they'd still be with us. That's just so. Hebrews 3:14. We're made partakers of Christ if we hold if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. All right, it's appointed unto me and once to die, and after that the judgment. The man's going to, he's all died in faith. The believer will die in faith. He will. He's going to stay with the gospel. He's going to stay with Christ. I hope that was a blessing. I hope it was helpful on this most important subject, repentance and faith. Mike, let's sing a couple of verses of a hymn.